Shirley, thank you so much indeed for reading for us. Shall we pray as we come to God's word together? Lord God, we thank you that you are not silent, but you would speak with your people. Lord, we hunger and thirst for you. We pray that we'd be nourished by your word today. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would strengthen us and encourage us, not just to be hearers of your word, but doers also. Lord, be amongst us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So this morning we're coming to the seventh of those I am sayings of Jesus. And today we're thinking about Jesus saying, I am the true vine. Now on Tuesdays, Kate and I have a day off, and last week we went to Westonbirt Arboretum. And it is one of the most beautiful places, isn't it? That's a picture of just the wonderful trees turning colour. I think that's in the Maple Loop, if ever you go into Westonbirt. It's an extraordinary place. But of course, these wonderful gardens and places do not get like that by accident, do they? There are many, many years of hard work. Planning, arranging, planting, watering, feeding, weeding, pruning. A whole army of people work together to make that place work. And today we're thinking of pruning and tending not to trees, but to vines. Who looks after them? What are they actually there for? Let me remind you of the scene. John's Gospel, chapter 14, all the disciples are together with Jesus in the upper room. They've shared the Last Supper together. Some very poignant words of Jesus that he is going away, but he will return and take them with him to be in his Father's house. And the very last words of John's Gospel, chapter 14, come now, let us leave. So at the end of John 14, they leave. And if you've been to Israel, if you've been to Jerusalem, you know that Jerusalem's always up on a hill. So they leave the upper room in the old town of Jerusalem. They descend, walk down into the Kidron Valley, and they're coming up the other side to go to the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. And Gethsemane actually means wine press. So it's very likely this whole area was covered with vines and vineyards. And very naturally, Jesus uses this illustration of the vine growing to talk about the importance of remaining in him, of believing in him, of bearing fruit to glorify God. See, Jesus knows that he'll soon be leaving, and he desperately wants his disciples to remain in him, to remain constant, to remain faithful, to not forget what he has chosen them. So this morning, as we think about the true vine, what are we saying? Well, verse 1 is interesting. He doesn't just say, I am the vine. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, if Jesus is talking about being the true vine, he's implying that there's also a false vine, a vine that doesn't really work. And here it picks up some of the images from the Old Testament. Going back many hundreds of years, the Lord's people, Israel, were always likened to growing as a vine. Psalm 80, a vine is brought out of Egypt, if you remember the Exodus. It's transplanted into the good soil of the promised land. God tended it and looked after it. Or more famously, in Isaiah chapter 5, Israel is a beloved vineyard. God cleared the soil of stones. He prepared the ground, even made a watchtower. He looked after this vineyard. He loved it. He tended it. But it only brought forth wild, sour grapes, useless. And the prophet Isaiah says this, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. You see, that's the metaphor. Instead of raising good fruit, it only raised bad. You see, the Israelites were given so much. They were rescued from slavery. They were brought to a promised land, looked after in the wilderness. But they were disloyal. They turned away from the one true God and followed other gods. They led evil, selfish lives, not caring for the poor, the destitute, for the stranger amongst them. But Jesus wants us to understand that he is now the true Israel. He is the embodiment of what Israel should have been like, the perfect son who has obeyed the Father, who's lived a perfectly holy and righteous life. No one has ever been closer to God and bore more fruit than the Son. And as in all these I am sayings, Jesus is drawing attention to himself. All God's plans, they all find their completion and fulfillment in him. All God's purposes find their fulfillment in Jesus. But then we also go on to talk about pruning. Anyone done any pruning in the garden this week? Well, at least three, four. Okay. Well, I'm no gardener, but even I know that pruning might seem pretty brutal. You've got to cut off the dead material that's essential for new growth to get all the nutrients going to the right place. God disciplines his children as a gardener prunes the plants he cares so much about. And as that great commentator Monty Don once said, I'll just read this to you, remember that winter pruning stimulates lots of growth, but summer pruning restricts it. See, if you want to stimulate lots of growth, you need to go really hard into the pruning. Now, what does that actually mean for us? Well, it does mean that God does not let us go our own way, because that is often a recipe for disaster. When we go through hard times, often it's completely inexplicable. Lord, why are you making this ready for me? Why now? Why is this happening to me, Lord? What good can possibly come from this? And at those times, we need to know that God is the gardener, that he disciplines those whom he loves, that he is still in the control even in the midst of storm, that God loves us and wants the very best for us. When we lose a loved one, when we battle treatment for cancer, when a relationship irretrievably breaks down, when our children make us weep and we lose sleep, when we go through intense anguish, loneliness, times of real darkness and depression. And we don't always have the answers, but still our Heavenly Father loves us. And we need to have faith that in those really hard times, God may prune us through a really difficult time to bear even more fruit. And in those hard times, sometimes we're driven to our knees in prayer to come closer to God. Maybe we realize the importance of the local church, the importance of fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Maybe in those times of intense pruning, we actually allow people to come near us and to love us. In the long term, we might find ourselves bruised and spiritually battered, yet closer to God, more assured in our faith, a deeper knowledge of Christ. You know, even though sometimes we are pruned, that does not mean that we are not loved. And in this little story, Jesus makes a huge difference, all the difference in the world between being pruned and being cut off and cast away. Let me read you verses 5 to 6 again. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. That's pretty stark, isn't it? If a branch does not remain in the vine and bear fruit, it's good for nothing. It's cut off and thrown into the fire. I wonder if Jesus was thinking about Judas at this moment. Can you imagine that scene in the upper room they've just come from? Jesus actually washed the feet of the one who would betray him with a kiss. Judas had heard the words of Jesus. He had seen the miracles, had even been trusted to hold together the common purse. He was the treasurer of the 12. But I don't think he was ever actually in Christ. His heart was elsewhere. We're told in the Gospels that Satan actually entered into Judas. And in just a few hours' time, in that garden, Judas will betray Jesus with a kiss. It says in Matthew's Gospel, the Son of Man will go just as is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. See, Jesus is warning us here not to assume that everyone who calls himself a believer actually is one. He tells us that the visible church in this life will always have sheep and goats in it. It will always have wheat and tares. It will always have fruit and those who don't bear fruit. It's not our job to sort it out. Jesus is the judge, not us. Elsewhere in Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us this, and he's trying to warn us to stop looking just at the visible, but to try and look underneath at the real spiritual life. Listen to what Jesus says. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And Jesus wants us to be very, very clear. Do not judge on outward appearances. Judge by the fruit of holiness in a person's life. And you know, as we think about bearing good fruit, it's really important, particularly at this time of year, as we have our annual parochial church meeting, as we reflect back on the past year, and we're bold enough to look ahead, and to ask ourselves the really hard question, am I bearing fruit for God? Now, what does that mean? Well, individually, are we connected to the local church, bearing fruit? We're in the vine. Not just going through the motions, but going deeper in our faith. And you know, it's so encouraging, week upon week, to know there's so many people meeting in small groups, in prayer triplets, 50, 60, 70, 80 people meeting in small groups to go deeper in the faith and to remain in the vine. We're also told that fruit looks like a life of self-sacrifice, taking up our cross and following in the steps of Jesus. Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In the past year, have those been growing in our lives? I came from a church tradition as a young man where we had a watch night service. So at the end of the year, 31st of December, we always look back on the previous year. And it was always a wonderful evening to think about, have I actually gone deeper with Jesus in the past year? Have I? Have I learned to be closer to Christ and grown in holiness? You know, sometimes the world will mock us if we believe in God and we believe in the values of God. In our areas of speech, our relationships, our generosity, our lifestyle, are we remaining close to Jesus in our prayer life? Do we read a good Christian book that really fed our soul? Are we remaining in the vine? Or what about corporately as a church body? How are we bearing fruit in our local community? I know so many of you here are involved with the library, with Memorial Hall, with our school, with Mothers Union, many different other clubs and organizations. You're bearing fruit for Christ in those places. We help out with the food bank, with World Mission around the world. And it's great that church members are very heart of these different initiatives. We think about our reordering project under Nigel Jones' leadership, making use of our resources to be better able to serve and minister in our local community. It's another facet of remaining in Christ, being in the vine and bearing fruit. And verse 8 really pulls all these things together. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple? If you want to know the test of being a Christian, of being a disciple for the Lord Jesus, ask ourselves that question. Are we bearing fruit for Jesus? Are we glorifying God in our lives? That doesn't just happen. We have to be intentional about it. We have to be sacrificial about it. And we can't actually do it by ourselves. But we need to encourage one another by the Holy Spirit to bear fruit that we glorify God. Now I'm going to ask us just to perhaps take a moment of silence, just to maybe to think about that picture of bearing fruit. And maybe just to ask ourselves that really hard question, am I bearing fruit in my own life? Let's just be quiet before God, and then we'll pray together. Father, we thank you that you are full of mercy and grace to us. Lord, we know that there's so many voices trying to pull us away from loving you and serving you and others. Lord, please help us to listen to your voice in your word. We thank you that we want to remain in the vine. We want to be fruitful branches, bringing all the glory and honor to you. Lord, please give us that strength to be your disciples in the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.